Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 117 of High Character, presented by Home Field Apparel. No music in the start of this one. Obviously, that music is happy, and we are the opposite of that after the weekend that UMass hockey just had. Swept on the road to end the regular season at Maine. Really big implications. We said it before this series that it was probably the biggest matchup since the 2022 Hockey East Championship. They don't get the job done. Now they have a road game in the quarterfinals of Hockey East, and the national tournament as of right now is we are out of it. So bad things all around. My name is Cameron, and I am joined by my good pal, Evan. Evan, I know how you're doing just based on how the series went. So I'll ask you this. Are you excited for tonight, what we're doing?
I mean, yeah, obviously, you know, we might actually be able to see a win. That's kind of cool. For those who don't, I mean, obviously you guys wouldn't know this. We're going to the Bruins game tonight. So that'll be, I think, a little bit of a palate cleanser. I feel like in terms of hockey, like, I mean, if I'm going to get into the how I'm feeling portion after this, it's like I feel like garbage. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like basura, like whatever. If you want, whatever language you want to look up the word trash or garbage in, that's how I feel. Like it's just pure disappointment, man. You know what I mean? Like it's been a while since I felt like this. Like we felt like this, I feel like, a lot last season. Just because, like, the way that, like, the season went, like, we ended up finishing, I think, ninth in Hockey East. Like, we've been so much better this season, but it's, like, for this to be the way that we, like, theoretically come back to Earth or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, whatever type of way you want to explain it, like, it's just for us to collapse at such a pivotal moment, you know what I mean? For us to not get the job done. Like, I think what do we end up needing after all the games were said and done? We needed, what, 2 points out of this weekend?
We needed 2 points, yeah.
To secure home ice in the playoffs and keep our national championship hopes semi-alive, you know what I mean? And, like, I feel like, you know, the algorithms and the pairwise and all these predictors that everybody, you know, all these stats nerds out there make, they still have us pegged at, what, like 60% to make the national tournament?
I think it's slightly under 50 right now.
Okay, I wasn't sure. I mean, they're constantly changing with everything, but I mean, even then, I feel like that is a generous probability. You know, like, just, you know, with our overall form, like, we took Lowell to OT two games. You know, like, two games last weekend. Like, there's just something we're not getting results right now, and it sucks to say, and it sucks to watch. You know what I mean? And We'll get into it partly in this episode, but man, I have not been looking forward to making this episode. Like, I said it online right after the second game. You saw me leaving your house. It looked like my dog just died. You know what I mean? Like, it was a tough look all around. And we're here to talk about it today on High Character, everybody. So
yeah, we've procrastinated this episode long enough. It's Monday right now. We're going to the Garden, to the Bruins game, to watch Matt Kessel, actually. So former UMass Minuteman, that'll be pretty cool. But we put this off long enough. We got to talk about it. We'll try to get through the game part and quicker than normal and talk about the bigger picture stuff. But before we do, we got to talk about Home Field Apparel. I'm actually wearing a Home Field Apparel shirt right now, the long sleeve with the curse of you on the front. I love that one. It's super soft and comfortable. I'm wearing this to the game tonight. Home Field is a premium collegiate apparel company, over 150 schools. They have a huge UMass line, about a lot of vintage stuff. Like I said, the Curse of You, some Minuteman logos, like stuff like that. So they're awesome. They have a whole new hockey line that came out a couple weeks ago that is also awesome. I also saw over the last couple of days they've released jerseys for the first time. They have some throwback college basketball jerseys, not yet for UMass, but for other schools. So Home Field is on the up, and I'm incredibly comfortable right now wearing this shirt.
It's actually kind of funny. So, like, normally I don't think about doing the ad role stuff, you know, like the sponsorship stuff, like whenever we do this, but I'm actually also wearing a Home Field Apparel shirt right now. I'm wearing the UMass versus UConn one, and I think I subconsciously did that just as like a security blanket, like a safety blanket, like just to think of the good times again. Like,
think about that sweep a couple weeks
that ago. That's exactly what, like, I think, like, I wasn't even thinking about it. Like, I just put on a shirt. Like, we don't even have our cameras on right now. Like, I wouldn't have even known what you were wearing, and you wouldn't have known what I was wearing. But it's funny how that all works out. Like, again, staying nice and cool, you know, like, this is a great shirt, you know, for all intents and purposes. Like, it looks good, feels good. And that's it's really all you need from a shirt. You know what I mean? Like, it definitely, you know, it's a good way for me to rep UMass. Good way for anybody who loves UMass to rep the school. So, I mean, I love recommending them. I feel like you do too. It's always great to be, you know, repping home field apparel. So, yeah, great stuff.
For sure. And if you want to go check out home field apparel, it's homefieldapparel.com. Use code PUCK10, that's PUCK10, to get 10% off your first UMass order. If you're a fan of any other schools along with UMass, go check out what they got. A lot of cool, like, jerseys. They have, like, these basketball shooting shirts that just came out too. They're doing a whole bunch of March Madness stuff. So if you like other college teams as well, there's a lot to choose from. Great company. And we love supporting them. Thank you, Home Field Apparel.
Yes, sir.
All right. So let's get into this. Like I said, we'll go through the games a little quicker than normal because at the end of the day, they didn't go very well. We don't need to totally harp on that. We kind of want to talk about the bigger picture. But first game, Friday night, 8 o'clock start in Orono. A lot of lineup changes. I know on Saturday against Lowell, Carvey wasn't particularly happy with the effort outside of UFCO. He said that he thought Lowell probably deserved to win that game and not us. So a lot of changes. Kenny Connors takes Mercury's spot on the top line. Mercury gets bumped down to the second. Second line's totally new. It's Taylor McCarr, Lucas Mercury, Nicholas Van Tassel. The third line looks pretty much the same. Yusuf Lashmelis, O'Hara, and then Michael Cameron, Lucas Vanderboys, and Cam O'Neill on the fourth line. The defense looks pretty similar. Owen Murray was the extra skater, and Michael Hrabel in net, but big shakeup in the offense. I know that really perplexed you before this game got started.
Yeah, like I remember I was just like chilling on your couch because we didn't make the trip up to Maine, and I guess probably for the better at this point. But yeah, I remember checking it out on my phone, and I'm sitting there thinking, like, dude, they were shaking stuff up. And obviously, like, I was expecting maybe some change, just like, you know, you put up only two goals in overtime against Lowell in the first game with some UFCO heroics, and then we go and win the other game 4-3 in OT with, again, some UFCO heroics. So it's like, I don't know, it just didn't really seem like the team was firing on all cylinders, like, really offensively or defensively. Like, we managed to get the job done, you know, for the most part the previous weekend, but not even fully. We got 4 out of 6 points. So, I mean, I feel like, you know, those are games where you got to dominate a little more, and we weren't doing that. So I was expecting some sort of shakeup, but I wouldn't say to this extent. I feel like it was a bit drastic. And obviously, as we'll talk about really quickly for this game, the offensive shakeups really didn't do a whole lot. You know what I mean? Like, we only end up getting one goal in this game. So I don't know. Whatever we were trying to cook up in the locker room there with some different lines, it clearly, I wouldn't say it backfired, but definitely didn't improve our situation by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, and it makes sense trying to shake up the offense. We did the math right before this series. If you take out that 11-goal Alaska Anchorage performance, UMass is only averaging about 2.8 goals per game this season, with that big outlier taken out. So the offense really needs some help as it is, and the changes here you thought might be able to spark something, but they really didn't. They did pay off a couple minutes into this game, less than 3 minutes in. We see Michael Cameron on the rush. He's got a couple guys on his side, really fights through a lot of pressure here, keeps the puck on his backhand, somehow gets it past Boija for the first goal of the game. A nice lucky bounce. I feel like we haven't been able to say that a lot this season in terms of the bounces, but nice effort from Michael Cameron. He got a little help with the bounce and very quickly won nothing. No better way to start a game.
Yeah, and it's kind of weird too, because it's like, I mean, this right here kind of lured us into like a, not like a false sense of security, but it was like, all right, this is a pretty cool start. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you know, if we're getting a goal 3 minutes into the game, there has to be more coming, right? And then like, we just didn't do anything after this. But it's kind of funny, like, in this exact like goal instance, the only thing that I'll kind of mention is like, it was really all about Michael Cameron's speed. And I feel like that was something that we tried to do in both games for a while. Like, we didn't really have any sort of like super clean zone entries. You know, it was more or less just like literally flipping the puck out of our own zone, trying to get it into open space, and then just have one of our guys like cherry picking up there, trying to pick up the puck. Like, I think Michael Cameron might have had two or three other chances just in these two games, like that were basically exactly identical to this, like just trying to use speed to like catch up to like what almost looks like a failed icing attempt. You know what I mean? Like, just trying to get it, like, we're playing like shuffleboard or like curling out there, like just trying to put the puck, you know, out of the range of Boya for him to come and play it. Because I noticed over these past two games, he was playing the puck a ton. because we were just trying to like get the puck with a little bit of speed into the zone and have one of our guys chase after it and hopefully beat the defense. But our passing just clearly wasn't good enough, and we weren't really able to generate offense in other ways. But this goal was, it seemed like that was kind of the game plan the whole weekend. And this was really one of the only times that it kind of worked, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, UMass looked pretty decent the first few minutes. Obviously, they get this goal. Yeah. Some good pressure. Then as the game goes on, that completely went away. Maine took control of this game pretty early, I would say. About 5 minutes left, 4 minutes left in the first period. We see something that we've seen quite a bit over the last 3 years, a really ill-advised pinch from Scott Morrow along the right boards. Knowing the speed that Maine has, especially with their top line with the Nadeau brothers, really not a wise decision, and it costs UMass severely. The pinch doesn't work. He isn't able to touch the puck. Maine gets out on a 3-on-1. The two Nadeau brothers are leading that charge, and Bradley Nadeau ends up getting a one-timer and easily scores it on the cross crease to make it 1-1. Bad mistake. Anytime you get a 3-on-1, it's a bad mistake, but especially against this top line that Maine has.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that kind of sucks, and I mean, I think it gets cut off by like the goal that University of Maine posted on their Twitter, but like it looks like Scott like kind of slipped a little bit. I don't know if like the ice was bad in the air. Like you could tell it wasn't like, at least in my opinion, like a poorly advised pinch. I think it was just he lost his footing at just a terrible time. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like knowing how good Scott Morrow can be with his stick, like we talked about it when we were watching the games, like he's not really one to play the body. For the most part, he tends to try and like knock pucks out of the air with his stick. Like his hand-eye coordination is pretty freaking good. We can all agree on that. But you kind of have to be on your feet and in a stable position in order to make that play. And he just lost his footing. Like, again, I don't know if it was just crappy ice. You know, I'm not going to say that I like fully feel for him because, you know, you obviously want to be able to stay up on your feet. Like we yell it all the time. Ice is slippery. You know what I mean? Like you got to do better than that. But like, in the same vein, I don't think it was necessarily the most ill-advised pinch. I think it was just a really, really unfortunate slip, but we've seen it multiple times. You know what I mean? So it's like, it just does seem like more of the same. And I mean, fair play to Maine. They were clinical. You know what I mean? Like they have a lot of speed, a lot of skill. And that's the number one time to show it off is when you're on a freaking 3-on-1 with two of your star players on your top line, just passing it at will. So, I mean, it's going to happen, but that was a really crappy way for them to tie it up. It really sucked to see that.
It was, and UMass certainly had their chances after that. Start of the second period, beginning of the third period, they get three power plays in a row. That was one of the big stories of this game. UMass looked absolutely pitiful on the power play. Three chances. I don't even think they got one shot off in that time. Story of the game, really, really bad special teams all around this weekend, but specifically their power play in the second. They're able to keep it at 1-1 going into the third and through most of the third. Until 5 minutes left in this game, the play that everybody was talking about, Idar Suniev, he's trying to back check on a 2-on-1, and he dives out and wraps his stick around the guy that has the puck. He actually is able to touch the puck with his stick first, knock it away, and then the skater trips on Suniev's body. They call the penalty. We were upset when it first happened because it looked like he got all the puck, and then the guy just kind of went down his zone. If you watch it, he did trip over Suniev. I even looked into the rule book after, and they did change the rule a few years ago. No matter what happens, if you touch the puck or not, if you trip the guy goes down, it's going to be a penalty every time. So really unfortunate, good effort, good play from Suniev. But, I know you were getting hot at this penalty even afterwards too. I don't know if you have anything to say about it.
I mean, whatever, I was wrong. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, it. Like that is, in my opinion, one of the stupidest rules. You know what I mean? Like,
agreed.
If you like, I'm looking at this, like the whole reason why I freaking went crazy, right, was because like I watch a metric crap ton of soccer, right? And I always see like, if you get ball first, you know what I mean? Then you're good. You know what I mean? Like if the guy trips over afterwards, dude, if you got ball and you were making it like a safe play, you weren't like, you know, trying to like rip their face off as like you tried to take the ball off them, then you're good. I always thought if you get puck or you get ball, you're smiling, but apparently not. I mean, granted, yeah, it's on Suniev. You got to know the rules there. You know what I mean? Like, they probably get drilled in this stuff all the freaking time. You probably knew not to do that, but like, if you're a casual or, you know, like a neutral, you know, just an observer of the game of hockey, I feel like none of us have the rule books memorized all the time. Yeah. So obviously in the moment we were both heated. I think everybody was heated. I saw people that like are like very, very well informed in the game of hockey that were also complaining about this stuff. So like people get stuff wrong. You know what I mean? Like it is what it is, but holy crap, man. Like we're sitting there and we're just thinking like, what? Like, what is going on here? Like, that looked like a textbook, like, shot block or, like, you know, just puck ripping away attempt. And it's all for nothing. And then that ends up being the, basically, like, the dagger, you know what I mean, at the end of the game. So, it just, it sucks, dude. It sucks.
Yeah, it does suck. And it sucks even worse knowing what happens next. On the ensuing power play, less than 30 seconds in, Sully Skoll is skating the puck along the blue line on the power play. He wrists one on, gets tipped in front by Thomas Friel, and it gets past Hrabal to make it 2-1. And that's the difference maker. That's the game. 2-1 final score. UMass doesn't get very many great chances with the goalie pulled afterwards. So, really, really tough loss to swallow, especially knowing that that power play cost you right at the end there in the last 5 minutes. Really deflating loss, but it wasn't the end of the world. I guess still had Saturday to possibly get the points that you needed on this weekend because Providence lost the day before, so that helped. But yeah, really, really deflating one here, all things considered.
Yeah. I mean, not getting it done obviously is not great, but I think the part that, you know, I don't know if we kind of skipped over it, but I don't think we really made as big of a deal about it as we should have. Power play was rough, dude.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if it was just in this game. I think it was in both games. You know what I mean? But, like, I think this was the main one, haha, pun intended, where, like, I don't even think we registered a single shot on our power. Like, I'm trying to pull that up right now. Like, I genuinely I don't think we did. I'm trying to find. I think it's in the box score section. Give me one moment if you don't mind. Yeah, we went 0-for-3 on power plays, not a single shot. Yep. What are we doing? You know what I mean? Like, that right there, I mean, we like just you know, like we complain about the refs like I wouldn't say a lot, but I feel like when it's warranted, right? We, especially in recent memory, like the past 3 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks, been pretty bad. If we're gonna be out here complaining about the refs all the time and how, like, you know, we're not getting calls or anything, if we get 3 calls and we can't do anything with them, what are we doing here? What are we playing for? Like that there were power plays that we had in this first game that were, for lack of a better term, embarrassing. Like, couldn't even get a zone entry. Like, we would dump it in, it would get caught, they would just rip it right out. Like, try again, see you later. We couldn't even generate any sort of zone pressure. We couldn't tire them out. We couldn't do anything with the 3 chances that we had to make a difference. So, I mean, that right there was sad enough. And I just wanted to bring that up again because, you know, like, you mentioned it very briefly, but we kind of just skipped over it. I feel like that was something that needs to be made more of a point of because that's sad. You know what I mean?
Certainly. And I know Carvey wasn't too happy after this game. It's very rare that we hear him say strong words that go against the team. He's very much a team morale, like, even if bad things happen, like, try to keep the locker room happy, I guess. Don't put anybody under the bus, anything like that. But he said after this game, "I just thought we got out-competed. That was what was going to decide this game. I thought we're playing well coming into tonight. This is a step back for us. We didn't compete at our usual level. A lot of guys didn't give us their normal games, and it wasn't enough tonight." I would argue that that stretches back into the Lowell series as well, to be honest. Just 3 games in a row of not great play. I mean, this team had such a phenomenal first half of the season, and then that Lake Placid trip happened. You still get some good wins after that, but very puzzling to have this. I mean, you want your team to be playing its best going into the end of the season and into the postseason, and this is the exact opposite of it. And I'm happy that Carvey finally put his foot down after this game because it was what we were all thinking, and I think it needed to be said, honestly.
I don't know. I think it's too little too late. Like, I mean, yeah. We look at, and again, we still have a whole other game to talk about, so I'm not going to go crazy here, but like, just looking in the past, the past 5 games or 4 games now? I don't remember how many games it's been, but we have a lot of one-goal games recently, right? So both of these games this past weekend were both one-goal games. Neither of them went to OT. The last series against Lowell, both games went to OT. They were obviously one-goal games. We end up losing an OT that previous series against UNH, which was that was an OT game. So that was a one goal game. And then the one before that, if you want to count that tip that went in with 1.6 seconds left or whatever in the home game against UNH, that's also a one goal game. That right there is six, just off the top of my head. I don't even have the schedule pulled up. I'm trying to pull it up. I'm trying to buy some time right now.
You had BC before that, which was two empty netter endings.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Then before that was UConn, which was also two close games. I think a two goal and a one goal game.
Or maybe they were both two goals. Yeah. It was 2-0 and then 3-1. So I mean, like, and then you look even before that, the previous three games prior to that were all one goal games. Like, basically, barring the BC series, we've had essentially one or two goal games for the past like 9 to 10 games now. Like, holy crap, man. Like, if we want to, all right, I'm going to go even crazier. If we want to disregard the one Merrimack game where we lost 4-1, the previous five games before that were all one goal games. I think we have like 17 or 18 one goal games this season, which is just, And that's the crazy thing to me is like, it's starting to make me think, right? Like, are we finding a way to win games or are we shooting ourselves in the foot, making games way too close for the other team? Like, I know it's only been like a couple games like recently where like my thought process has shifted, but like, I'm a bit more down on the team than I feel like a lot of people are right now. And very like this Providence game, you know, this playoff game could completely change my opinion. We might wallop them 4-1 and I'll just be like, we're back. You know what I mean? Like everything could be fine.
Go back.
But as it stands right now, man, I'm concerned with the, like, just the overall way that this team's trending. Like Carvey always says, you got to play your best hockey at the end. We want to improve the whole year. Right now we look like hot garbage. Like, I get it. It's Maine. They're the number 9 team in the nation. They're really, really solid. But like, we're doing that against UNH. We're doing that against Lowell. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, we have to do better. And I don't know. Like, let's talk about the next game because I got to regather my thoughts and stop going on tangents. But yeah, this is just, it's not a good look right now for us in the slightest.
Yeah. And game 2 on Saturday, UMass went into this game knowing exactly what they needed. Providence played Northeastern at 4:00 and they got a shootout win. So they got 2 points, which means UMass needed 2 points in this game in order to get a home game in the Hockey East quarterfinals against Providence. So they know what it is going in. Lines are changed a little bit. The second line that had Lucas Mercury at center got shifted down to the third line, got switched. So Donzel Schmelis' line got moved up to second. Christian Sanda came in for that third line. Liam Gorman came in on that fourth line. So some more offensive changes to try to get something to work. I feel like this kind of reads to me as Carvey getting desperate to find anything in the offense.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't call it like a grasping at straws type thing, but it's just like at this point, it's like if you just throw out the same lineups over and over again, it's like, what's the point? Like, it's literally the definition of insanity, right? Like you're trying the same thing over and over again and it's not going to work. So, I mean, you got to do something, but I don't really know. Like, this is why I'm not getting paid, you know, however much Carvey's getting paid. I can't come up with the answers here, but like, I don't know what you would realistically want to change. Like, you have to have a solid top line that's firing. Like, I don't really know really like with the guys that we have, if just switching around who's playing with who is going to be the answer. I think it's just individual performance and execution just needs to be better. You know, like, I think you just need to have the mentality of some guys that are just going to say, I'm going to win us this game, you know? And it feels like kind of Jack Musa was trying to do that a little bit. Like, he was just, it started, at least in this game, to me, like, he personally was one of the guys that I saw who was like, you know, he was going to try and make plays with the puck. He was going to try and stick handle, get shots on net. It seems like a lot of the other players were just kind of sticking to, like, the overall system, just, like, try and just get pucks on net, you know, like, grind away a win. It seemed like Musa was trying to get flashy and try and make some plays happen. And he looked good when he was doing it, but it wasn't enough, so I don't know. I like the idea of switching around the lines in theory, but I think it's just a holistic, like, the team just needs to be better type of attitude. I don't think changing around lines is going to fix everything.
Yeah, I agree with you. And knowing all the circumstances going into this game, it's as much of a must win as this team has had in 2 years. They come out as bad as you could possibly imagine. Nightmare start of this game. In the first 10 minutes, a few penalties from UMass that were deserved. They were certainly penalties. There are only two penalties of the game looking at it, but to start out the game like that, really bad. And Maine capitalized on both power plays. The first one, it was just one of your standard, like, cycling the puck around. They get a one-timer. The guy's shot kind of goes against where you think it's going to be. It was kind of across the crease, but pretty high up towards the blue line, and the shot goes to the side the pass came from. A lot of screening in front. I don't think Crabbe ever saw it. The second one was a cross crease closer to the goal. And I think you and I are both in agreement on this. Crabbe should have had it. It looked like it went right above his head. He kind of overcompensated, didn't see the puck at all, even though there was nobody screening him. Really think he should have made that save. But 10 minutes in, absolute nightmare. Down 2-0 in a must-win game. It was bad.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing that, like, that second goal, man, like, that was the one that I felt like just kind of, like, took all the momentum. You know what I mean? Like, you're down 2-0, especially considering, like, the way that it went in. Like, Crabbe, he likes to play very positionally, I noticed. Like, he doesn't like to make these big-time windmill, you know, flashy-looking grade-A saves. He's very much just, I'm going to be in the right position, the body, you know, the puck's just going to hit my body. You know what I mean? And he goes over to the side. And he puts his glove up, like, he looked like a catcher. You know what I mean? It looked like he was trying to frame it after the puck goes by him. Like, he, like, has his glove in the air, and he's like, why is the puck not in it? Like, I mean, that, I don't know. Like, I feel like I'm just kind of so upset about this game. Like, I don't even know what to say. But definitely a 2-0 start, especially knowing that you need to get 2 points out of this game. Is, you know, I'm sitting there on your couch. It's like, dude, what am I even doing here? Like, I should just be at home right now. Like, why am I even, like, what's the point? So we dug ourselves into a really big hole early, and it didn't look like, at least to me, we were going to get out of it. Like, we just looked so, so, so bad.
Yeah, and luckily the offense actually turned it around pretty quickly. Less than a minute later, UMass has the puck behind Maine's goal. Puck kind of just, like, gets passed out to the front. Mercury's there with a guy on either side of him. Somehow he's able to control the puck and get a shot on it as he's falling to find the back of the net. Really impressive goal from Merckx here, and to stop the bleeding and get one back at this point was absolutely huge. I know you and I weren't celebrating too crazy, just how frustrated we were with how everything was going to that point, but really big goal at a big time.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of just like a, yay, we actually could get one back here. You know what I mean? Like, and I feel like it was a good bounce back for Merckx. Like, Merckx didn't really have the best first game. Like, I think he was like 3-for-16 in the face-off dot or something. Didn't really provide much offensively. He had to get something going, you know what I mean, in this game. Like, he had to, I think that was why he kind of got demoted to the third line. Like, he just wasn't really getting the job done. So it was great for him to get something back here. You know, it was kind of a big spark. Good job, you know, in the net front where he kind of shines. So it's a great goal, you know. But again, like you said, like, we weren't really going crazy. You know, we were just like, all right, we might have ourselves a game now. Like, this is the start, hopefully. But yeah, it was good.
Yeah, and in the second, UMass gets himself a power play. A tactic they were using all night against Boysia was going for that low rebound shot. You saw it a lot, and Boysia was giving up a lot of rebounds, and they went for it on this power play. Owen Murray takes a shot to the lower left-hand side, bounces right off Boysia's pad, right to the stick of Cole O'Hara. He's able to put one home on the power play. Finally, special teams doing something on the weekend. And then also, just 2 minutes later, Cole O'Hara, again, he's skating in on a two-on-one with Jack Musa. The guy, the defender on O'Hara actually dropped his stick due to O'Hara's stick handling, which was pretty funny visual. O'Hara takes a wrister in the same exact spot, lower left-hand side, perfect bounce back to Jack Musa, who was streaking up the wing. He's able to tap it home in the same way. And just like that, UMass has the lead early in the second. So a big change there. It seems like they found a hole in Maine's defense, and it paid off at this point.
Yeah, I'm trying to come up with like a new nickname for O'Hara, like the rebound king or something, because both of these goals, and I think the goal that he had against, or the two, I think both goals he had against UNH a couple weeks ago were also, I think, off a rebound. So, like, he's able to just create rebounds with his chances and help others score. He's, you know, what, really good at just being out in front of the net and just tapping home, you know, rebounds that, you know, the goalies give up. So he's really found his stride recently. Like, again, I think we talked about it in the preview episode. Like, he's been heating up a little bit. You know, he's been getting better. because I think we all kind of saw the potential that he has. Like, he's drafted for a reason. You know what I mean? Like, he put up really, really solid numbers in juniors. He's going to be a really, really solid player. It was just the first half of the season, like, yeah, the rest of the team was playing well, but he wasn't necessarily playing his best. Now we're kind of switching it around here. Team's not looking all too great, but Cole O'Hara is getting his. So very, very weird how that works. I'm hoping, I think for our sake, maybe Cole O'Hara can cool it down a little bit. So maybe we start winning again just off of superstition. But yeah, I mean, it was great, obviously, to take the lead. I mean, me and you, we were on fire. We were like, yes, this is what we need. Like, we just need to shut the door here and we get our 3 points and we're out of here doing okay. You know what I mean? Like, we were expecting a split, I think, realistically. So if we could get a split here, we would have been smooth sailing and we're feeling good right now.
Yeah, and you see how everything went in this game up until this point. An absolute mirror copy of the second game against BC, the one at Conte Forum. BC went out to a quick 2-0 lead. UMass looked really bad in the first period. And then UMass gets 3 quick ones to take the lead again. It looked exactly like it. And it continues to be a mirror image because Maine answers just 5 minutes later. They're entering UMass's zone on a 3-on-3, and their skill guys just take over, the Nadeau brothers. They put on an elite passing display, makes UMass look a little silly, even though it was 3-on-3 rush situation, and they're able to tie the game at 3. That's just Maine's offense doing what it does. No real fault there. Just got the better of UMass defense on that one.
Yeah, this is what gets me mad about watching UMass, is that, like, we don't have that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I know that sounds insane, but, like, a lot of our offense is generated from our defensemen and just from, like, being set up in the zone. Like, we're not really, like, an insane rush team. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, Cole O'Hara, you know, made that shot to Musa. Musa puts it home. That's off the rush. Fair enough. But, like, I feel like just from the eye test, and I don't have any data to back this up, but it just seems like, in general, we tend to score a lot of our goals when we're set up in the zone. And that kind of requires, you know, like, a good structure, a good game plan, you know, vision, finding the guys. It's not necessarily always a skill thing. You can tell just by watching Maine, they're very, like, free-flowing, just kind of, you know, get fancy with it, you know, make a crazy pass because they have that skill. Like, we don't really, like, you know, Suniev can be that guy, Musa can be that guy. I mean, really, who else forward-wise on UMass has that type of ability? Like, I'm just being honest. Like, this isn't meant to, like, you know, crap all over the team. I'm just being objective with it. You know what I mean? Like, we don't have guys that are putting up 40 something points a season. Like, we just don't have that. Like, Maine has that right now. They have skill guys. They have a lot of speed, and that's what was on display here. And when I watch these types of games and these types of goals get scored, I get a little jealous. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying that I, like, disapprove of, like, the way that UMass plays the game. Like, we want a natty off of it. You know what I mean? Like, in Parvey, we trust, we get that. But, like, it just seems like you need that every now and then to win these types of games. You know what I mean? Like, all of our games where we win, it's because we're grinding it out. You know what I mean? Like, we'll get a nice little dirty net front play or something, like, not dirty, but, like, greasy, I should say. Like, we're not scoring these sorts of beautiful goals all the time. And, you know, obviously we get those from guys like Suniev. He'll rip them from the faceoff dot, bar down. Beautiful goals. But, like, when was the last time we had, like, I guess besides the UFCO overtime winner, right? Like, a beautiful tic-tac-toe, beautiful passing goal. I can't really think of that besides the one that UFCO drew up, and that was from an NHL, you know, team. That was from the Sabres. Like, other than that, I haven't really seen any sort of crazy rush plays like that or anything. Yeah,
nothing,
you know, that
nothing comes to mind.
They just have that sort of ability. So, I mean, it sucks that that happened, and that's how they tied it up. But, again, fair play to Maine. That was a damn good play, and they deserved it there.
It was. And for what it's worth, that was against the grain. I thought UMass really controlled a lot of the game in the second period, and they continue to control the game in the third. If you look at the shots, UMass finished this game with 37. They had 31 between the second and third periods, which is an insane number. A lot of games this season, they haven't even gotten to 31 shots, and they get that in two periods, second two periods of this game. But they're not able to scratch one through in the third period. It's tied at 3-3 for just about the whole length of it. And then we see something again that we've seen a decent amount of over the last 3 years.
Don't say it, Cameron.
UMass has their puck in their defensive zone. Just over 1 minute left in the game. Scott Morrow has the puck. A lot of times we see him skate out of the zone and kind of put on the deeks, try to get around guys. He loves that through the legs or like different skill moves to get around guys. We see it so much. Inexplicably, he tries to clear the puck right from out in front of the goal. It gets deflected and it stays in UMass's zone. Maine takes it over the puck, and Lyndon Breen, their best player for the last few years, the captain, he takes the puck, just rips one past Rabble. Awful defensive mistake. The most backbreaking goal of the season, I would say, given everything, the score, like the situation, how the goal ended up happening. One of the most backbreaking goals I've seen since watching UMass hockey, to be honest. And that's how Maine wins this one 4-3, and UMass doesn't get any points on the weekend. So I don't know what else to say. You could hear my tone, obviously, very frustrated about it. But what a frustrating way to lose a game that you probably should have won, given the way both teams played.
Like, I mean, I'm speechless. This was this right here. That paragraph that you just said is the reason why I didn't want to do this episode. Like, just thinking about that. Like, we're sitting here, high game, roughly what, like a minute left. And we're thinking, all right, maybe like, who knows? We can get something here. Like Merckx did it against Providence, right? Like we've got,
and we know we only need 2 points.
Yeah, I was like, all right, we go to overtime. Don't get me wrong. I feel like if we went to overtime, it would have been scary because they got speed guys like the Nadeau brothers. Like that would have sucked. But you never know. Like you get a key takeaway, you get pucks, you know, you get bodies going the other way. We might get a 2-on-1. Imagine a world, right? You get Suniev and Muse on a 2-on-1. You know what I mean? We could have been smiling right there, getting 2 points, and then, you know, life would have been grand. But like, for this to be the way that it ends, right? Like Scott, like I get what Scott Morrow is trying to do here. Like, it's not, I'm not stupid. You know what I mean? Like, I get what he's trying to send it up, long stretch pass up to, I don't even know who was there, but there was somebody along the boards, like near our bench, basically. He might've just been coming off of like a line change or something. He sees him there, but the problem is that I think it was Kenny Connors, maybe. I don't remember. I think it was Connors. He like was cutting across the ice, and that was the deflection that you were talking about. Like he basically passes it right into Kenny Connors' torso. Like, I get it. I get what he's trying to do. He wants to try and spur somebody for a break. We were doing it all night. You know what I mean? But like, you gotta pick better moments than this. Like, you know what the stakes are right here. If you're making a pass, I'd rather see us hold the puck and just make sure that we play ultra defensive at this point. You got a freaking minute left in the game, and we just need 2 points. It's not like we have to play hero ball and we need to get the regulation win. You know what I mean? We could have just held on to it, played safe, see what happens when you go 3-on-3. Who knows? But for that to be the way that it ends, dude, like, I was at your house, so I didn't really react that crazy because I didn't want to scream, scare the hell out of your cat or whatever. If I was at home, I would have been screeching like a hyena, like super mad, just wanting to like throw something at my TV. Like that's how bad and infuriating that play was. So, I mean, we talk about Scott Morrow's turnovers, and I feel like we try and defend him as much as humanly possible because we know what he can bring to the table. Like when he's on his game, kid looks like an NHLer. You know what I mean? When he's off his game, he barely looks like he can touch the ECHL. So it's like, we see the swings of Scott Morrow, and we've lived or died by him at numerous times over his past 3 years here. This right here, for this to potentially be his second to last game ever in a UMass uniform, that's a shitty way to go out. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I pray for both the team's sake and his like UMass legacy's sake that we're giving this kid a CCC award at the end of the Providence game, because now everybody's public opinion of Scott Morrow, I feel like I'm not just saying this for us. I think I'm speaking for the entirety of UMass Twitter and everybody listening. Everybody's pretty pissed at Scott Morrow right now. Like he has to do better. I mean, the whole team has to do better. The loss wasn't on him solely. That was one goal against, you know what I mean? Were there moments where Rabble could have done better? Were there moments where the team could have scored more? I'm pretty sure with like 40 seconds left in this game, we had a grade A chance that Boya robbed us on. I think it was a cross crease. I think it was like either O'Hara or like Muser or somebody. He had a cross crease pass and he got robbed by Boya on the glove. We could have done better there and tied the game back up again. It's not just on Morrow, but Jesus Christ, man, that was a big reason why we lost for sure. So, I mean, that's my rant on it. I mean, I'm upset about the whole thing. You know, Carvey says that we should have won the game. I agree. I think we at bare minimum deserve to go to overtime, and then we would have seen what happened. But the fact that we didn't go to overtime, we got 0 points this weekend. In the words of Willy Wonka, you get nothing, you lose. Good day to you, sir. I'm not feeling good about that. I'm really upset.
Yeah, I have something that I want to say about Carville's quote. So I'll read the quote first. He said, "It was a really good bounce back by our team. We played really well on the road and thought we deserved better. The two power play goals against earlier were a big hurdle, but we overcame it and took the lead. I thought in the third period we were really good. We had the puck in their zone the whole time. We make a mistake, throw the puck in the middle of the ice, and it's in the back of our net. So that's the margin. But the kids played really hard tonight. Very happy with their effort and thought we deserved to win tonight." I agree with most of the quote. The point where he says we deserve to win tonight, maybe I would argue that they played well enough to get the win for the most part in this game. But to say that we deserve to win, I mean, when you have your top line D-man making passes like that directly leading to goals, did you really deserve to win? Like you said, we live and die by Morrow, so we die by the mistakes that he makes. Like,
no.
And also there were chances, like I'm pretty sure Jack Musa, I think it was Musa, created a breakaway for himself and had a wide open net in this game.
Yep.
And he put the backhand off the post instead of in the back of the net. Like, if we deserve to win, we're not making mistakes like that. We're burying chances like we had. I don't know. I just kind of like a weird loser mentality thing to me, I think.
I think it's semantics of the word choice. Like, I think I got I think I get what he's saying. You know what I mean? Like, I think the proper wordage, in my opinion, would have been we played well enough to win tonight.
Yeah, that's what
But I mean, and you got to remember too, like, Carvey just witnessed what we all witnessed. You know what I mean? Yeah. You really think that he was probably upset in the locker room. He's probably upset while he was given that, you know, that response to the, you know, to the reporters. You know what I mean? Like, you can't expect, you know, his quotes to be perfect and, you know, completely clear-headed all the time. He was probably given this stuff 10 minutes after that heartbreaking loss. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you think I'd be able to speak clearly? If I was the coach of the team, you know me, Cam. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I wouldn't even want to face these people if I had to watch that. So, I mean, like, fair play to Carvey. Just, you know, I mean, I get it's his job. You know what I mean? But, like, I can't knock him on the quote. Like, I understand what he was saying. I feel like it was just kind of a, you know, a misinterpretation of his meaning, if that makes any sense. But I agree with him. Like, you know, talking more about this game, I feel a bit better about the team, like, going forward. But, like, it's just, you can't have those sorts of mistakes, right? Like, we were talking about, you know, ever since basically we were ranked this season, the whole thing that we were talking about is, can we make the Natty? You know, like, is this team good enough to make the Natty? Yeah.
Regionals in Springfield, like.
Like, this was our chance, right? And it feels like a lost opportunity right now. Because right now we're on the outside looking in. At the bare minimum, I think if we want to make the national tournament, we got to beat Providence, right? That's a given. So that right there, we're technically, we're underdogs in that one, right? Technically, we're the 5 seed and they're the 4 seed.
Yeah,
so
technically.
If we want to get technical with it, I mean, I'm pretty sure we haven't lost to them yet this season. So that's a you know, a good thing for us. But the bare minimum, you got to win that game. And then we play, what, BC? I mean, we could have beat them. We probably could have beaten them at one point this season if it wasn't for some ref shenanigans. But the other game, we got pretty fair outclassed, I feel like. So, I mean, it's BC. They're the unanimous number one team. For us to even have a shot at the Natty, you know, discussions, I think we have to beat them as well. You know what I mean? I don't think just a win against Providence is going to do it unless we get, like, every single other possible, you know, game from other teams working in our favor for pairwise. So this was a game that we had to win, and we didn't get it done. And I think heartbreaking is probably the word for this, you know, like, unless you have another one. But I don't know. I feel like crap right now thinking about it.
I mean, let's talk about the implications of this.
Yeah.
UMass had a real chance to get the 4 seed, which would have been a home game against Providence. They get the 5 seed. So Schneider Arena, 4 o'clock on Saturday. We will be there, obviously. But decently tough place to play. I know UMass has had a lot of success there over the last few years.
Yeah.
It's really hard to beat the same team 3 times in one season, no matter who the opponent is, especially in Hockey East. So, I mean, that in and of itself is a pretty big task. Like you said, absolutely need to win this game or the season's over. It's cut and dry. UMass is 15th in the pairwise right now. They're tied for 15th with St. Cloud State, I believe. So even then, you beat Providence, they're going to need some luck to go their way around the country in order to get back into the picture for an at-large bid. This game, all the marbles. Like, if you lose, you go home. If you win, you have a chance. I think, don't quote me on this fully, the Hockey East semifinal is reseeded. So if the top seeds win out, then UMass will play BC at the Garden. If there's an upset somewhere along the lines, BC will get the lower ranked team than UMass. So it's not confirmed that it'd be BC. You'd have to imagine it's going to be one of the Boston schools, though, that UMass is going to play. So tall task. I think our chances are pretty good if we get the win at Providence. They are ranked ahead of us in the pairwise. We definitely leapfrog them, and then we get a good quality win. So we'll see how it goes, but a lot at stake. I don't have anything else to say, I guess.
Yeah, the only last thing that I'll mention on this subject, and it's not even really directly related, but just I feel for the seniors and everybody who might be leaving the team this year. Just in the case of, like, we could have had a one last home game at Mullins locked up. You know what I mean? I feel like that was kind of the vibe that we were getting as we were leaving the UMass Lowell series. Like,
I didn't take a look back at the ice like I always do in the last game. I was like, we'll be back here.
That was literally like, I was sitting there like thinking like we're going to be back here. You know, like, it wasn't a guarantee, but it was probably like a cool 80%, right? Like, we were probably thinking, I don't even think technically we had to take any points from this weekend if Providence lost. You know what I mean? Like, if we were tied,
we had the tiebreaker.
Yeah. So, you know, in theory, you know, if Providence didn't win their game or whatever, go to OT, we would have been locked into a home game regardless. So, like, a lot of things would have had to have gone against us in order to not get the home game. So the fact that, depending on who comes back, because we don't know, you know what I mean? But, like, if you know, Bollinger or Alger or whoever, you know, doesn't come back, that game against Lowell was the last game at Mullins for the season. And that's the case right now. Like, it sucks because I feel like, yeah, we gave him a send-off and it was senior night and everything, but I feel like it didn't feel like a true send-off. You know what I mean? There was just that little lingering thing that was just like, you know, we'll be back here next or in 2 weeks. Like, it's whatever. We'll figure it out. And now here we are. Like, we could have had it locked up in really either of those games, you know, because, again, in classic UMass fashion, they were one goal, you know, deficits that we end up losing by, but we just couldn't get it done. It sucks that we don't get the home game. That's the thing that really gets me. You know, like, I think of guys like Bollinger, like, who knows if he's coming back, you know, like, I think he's eligible, I think, but, you know, we haven't always brought back guys that are, you know, fifth year eligible. So who knows what's going to happen, but, like, it always felt to me we were going to get that one last game and we didn't. So I'm super disappointed. You know, that's one of the things that really, really got to me that I didn't really think about until right now. So anger. But
I think disappointed is the main word. I've seen some discourse online about, oh, like, if you look at the preseason polls, UMass wasn't expected to be here at this point, things like that. Well, in the first couple of weeks of the season, they established themselves as one of the better teams. I mean, ranked for almost the entire season, near the top of the Hockey East standings for most of the season. Like, they set the standard up until a couple weeks ago that we were going by, and to have this 4 points out of 12 possible in the last 2 weeks and just a collapse when you were basically between 10th and 12th of the pairwise for the entire season. I don't care what we were projected to do. Like, that's a disappointment. Like, obviously this team didn't have a great year last year. They had 12 wins, right? Or 13 wins. And then this year it's 19. So obviously a big improvement. And they were picked to be middle of the pack to bottom of the pack in, like, the coaches poll and the and stuff for Hockey East. But they set the standard at the beginning of the season. They've kind of been playing by that the whole year. And it just leads to big time disappointment like this. Like you said, Carvey said, we need to go into the playoffs feeling the best and like building up to this point. And the fact that that hasn't happened, the fact that it almost seems like we've regressed a little bit, is the most frustrating thing.
Yeah, I mean, and like the other, like the more bigger picture thing that I feel like is something that people aren't really considering, or maybe they are considering it and they're just, you know, forgetting about it. But like, we're going to be losing Ufko and Moro. You know, that's almost a given, right? Like, and yeah, we literally probably spent a good 20 minutes of this episode roasting Scott Moro. Fair play. You know what I mean? Like, was it deserved?
Spoiler alert.
Exactly. But like, in all honesty, right? He's been pretty freaking huge for our program, right? There's no way around that. Like, you can't deny his skill. He's had some unbelievable moments, some amazing games. He's probably one of the best offensive-minded D-men we've had, right? Like, I don't think that's a crazy thing to say. We're not going to have him back next year, right? So, like, the fact – and plus, you know, I think even more importantly, Ryan Ufko is gone. Like, I think if everybody if anybody were to ask anybody that was affiliated with the team or is a big fan of the team who the best defenseman on this team is, I think at the beginning of the season, people probably would have leaned Moro. But Ufko has established himself as by far the best player on this team, right? There's no doubt about that. Missing him next year is going to, and do not get this twisted, it is going to suck. Like, there is no other way to put that. Like, the fact that, you know, he's probably a Hockey East, like, first team player, I wouldn't be surprised. You know what I mean? Like, just with his overall defense and everything that he brings into it, you know, he's one of the best defensemen probably in all of college hockey, not even just Hockey East, right? Like, the fact that we're not going to be having him back next season, considering all of the improvements that we're probably going to expect from freshmen next year, you know what I mean? Like, we're going to have, you know, Jack Musa get an offseason, and we're going to have Idar Suniev and Michael Hravel all getting better this offseason. But I don't think you're going to be able to replace guys like Moro and Ufko, you know what I mean? So, like, if we had any big chance, I feel like, to make a really, really big step forward and challenge for a national championship, you know, run, it was going to be this season, because we had young guys that are freshmen right now who could contribute, but we also had the older guys in too, like Ufko and Moro, that can contribute. Now we're just going to have the younger guys, you know what I mean? We're not really going to have any like established, like junior or senior level players that are like dirt nasty, you know, like an Ufko. So the fact that we might not be able to capitalize on the team that we have right now, that adds to the frustration, because regardless of the predictions and regardless of the polls and, you know, where everybody was supposed to finish out, we were right there. And I might be eating my words in a couple of days if we win against Providence, we go on some crazy Hockey East playoff run.
I hope so.
This could all be completely moot and I could just be an old man yelling at the clouds. But like, as it stands right now in this exact moment, we're not making the tournament. We're not looking great. This is a terrible end of the season so far. And we're going to be losing some key players that we're not going to have back for the next season, most likely. And I feel like our window is rapidly closing right now. Like, who knows? We might have some insane freshmen next season and we might go on a crazy run again. That shouldn't be the expectation, right? Mm. Like, UMass is always about building up players and developing them, not having them be one year, one and done, crazy contributor, Hobie Baker candidates. Like, Kale was a luxury. It was a miracle that we got him. Who knows when that next guy is going to come through? It's basically Hravel, right? Like, Hravel's that guy right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, I just think we're going to be losing a ton of talent next season. And I don't know if we're going to have the same team to make this sort of run. I think it's kind of now, or I'm not going to say never, but maybe in a couple years. I don't know if we're going to be able to replicate the success next season. I don't know.
Yeah, no, and this sounds like a funeral episode right now. Unfortunately.
I know.
Obviously, there's still a chance.
Unlikely.
We'll get better. We've got a big game against Providence, but I mean, if the next episode of High Character that comes out is the season is over, if that's the title, this collapse needs to be studied. Like,
yeah.
This is rough. But UMass has played well against Providence this year. Played really well against Providence this year. The light's still on. It's dim, but there's a chance that we could reignite that flame again. So what do you say we jump into awards and get this moving?
Let's get it, Cam.
All right. So the first award we give out is the CCC Carville's Character and Compete Award, and it's going to a guy that we just recently gave it to, Cole O'Hara. Not as much in the first game, but in the second game, he looked great. Within just a couple minutes of each other, he had that that goal off the rebound and then the nice assist off the rebound. He's been much improved in the second half of the season, and I really like how he's playing. He's in a couple of games where there's a lot to look at in terms of negative things. He was I don't think he did anything that looked negative to me. He's been a bright spot on the team during this stretch.
Yeah, I mean, he's showing off what we all knew he had, right? Like, that's kind of the thing. Again, like I mentioned it earlier, like, he's a drafted guy, you know, fourth round pick. You know who else was a fourth round pick via Nashville? Mark Delgado. And he's like an AHL, NHL tweener right now. Like, that, if you're getting picked in the fourth round, you have a damn good shot at making the big show. You know, like, he's a really, really solid player.
You know who else was a fourth round pick for Nashville? Ryan Ufko.
Why did I forget? You know, that's also a really good point. I should have used the more yeah. recent term. Thanks for making me look like a dumbass on air, dude. What the, no, I'm kidding. But no, I mean, that's a really, really good point. See, this is why this is not a one-man podcast. We like yep. to play off each other. Yeah, this is good. But yeah, you make a really, really freaking good point. Like, you know, like, fourth round pick to Nashville is usually a pretty good sign, right? And like, he had a pretty promising freshman year, you know what I mean? 17 points in 32 games. Now he's up to 18 points in 34. So he's basically at the same pace for scoring, but I think he's kind of on the upswing right now. Like, I think he has a whole lot more to offer. You know, he has really good skill with the puck. You know, he knows where to be. It feels like just sometimes he's kind of like Kenny Connors. I feel like he's really good at like kind of getting the chances going and like, you know, making decent plays, but he just can't get that final end product. I feel like he's starting to get there. So
yeah,
I mean, there's definitely a lot of potential in him. I love his game. I picked him as hopefully the most improved player this season. I don't know if that's going to end up being the case, but he still looks good, and I feel like we all believe in him. I think he's going to be a really, really good player for us next season.
Yeah, love to see it, especially down the stretch here. So good job, Cole O'Hara. The Good Try UMass Award, the guy that we think we want to do better out there next time around. It's no surprise how we've been talking about it this episode. It's Scott Morrow. I know he got it a week or two ago as well, so it's not been trending very well from him. I think we just looked at it. He hasn't scored a goal since the very beginning of February. Obviously had a couple of defensive miscues in this game, and then in the UNH series, I think he had some more miscues defensively. We give him the Good Try knowing he has the potential in him. Obviously, he's a second round pick, third highest draft pick ever for UMass.
Yeah, that sounds right. That's yeah, that sounds right.
So, like, obviously, all the potential's there, but this season it's almost seemed like a bit of a regression. Like, the first half was great, but if you like look at the stats, he hasn't scored in a long time. He's only a plus one on the season for a team that's 19-11-3. So I don't know exactly what's going on. I know those defensive miscues will not play well at the higher level. I'm pretty positive he's going to go to the higher level. I honestly like would love to see him back at UMass for another year, but I think everybody knows that's not going to happen. It's very, I would say, one of the more puzzling players that we've ever watched as UMass fans.
Yeah, he's going to have a weird legacy, I feel like, in the terms of UMass fans' brains. I feel like I'm pretty middle of the pack on him, right? Like, I can be objective and realize what he can bring to this team, but I can also be objective and realize he is probably the most talked about UMass hockey player in the past 3 years by far, for better or for worse, right? Like, when you look at guys like Ryan Ufko, right, they might not have as many highlight reel plays as Scott Morrow, but if you were to look at Ryan Ufko's like low light reel, it's probably about 45 seconds long, right? Like, yeah, it's not a very long video if you were to make it over his past 3 years. Scott Morrow low lights might be a slightly longer video with some more material to go off of. And that's kind of the crazy thing in my mind. It's like, he's super flashy, right? And like, when it works, He looks like a hockey hyper genius, right? Like, he looks like Kale. Like, if he does his little spin move and he's out here, you know, nipping him short side from the faceoff dot, he looks like the best player of all time in UMass history. But if he tries that same move and then he shoots it off a defender's legs and we got a 3-on-1 going the other way, he looks like probably the dumbest player of all time. Like, it's like Schrodinger's defenseman, right? Like, sometimes he's there, sometimes he's not. Like, it's super perplexing because You know, like the first half of the season, I thought he was the best player on UMass by a country mile, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he looked great defensively. He was making really smart plays. His passing looked effortless, right? Like, I forget which game it was, but there was a home game that we had. Might have been against Providence. I don't remember. I'm kind of talking out of my butt here. But there was a game where he literally had about, like, 8 or 9 different passes from our own defensive zone that were crisp, tape-to-tape passes, literally, like, to the opposite blue line, right? And they looked like the most perfect, like, entry passes ever. It looked like they were shot out of a cannon. Now he tries that same play against Maine, goes off of Kenny Connors, and then we get scored on the other way, right? Like,
yep.
He has the highest highs and the lowest of lows, and he's by far the most frustrating player that I've seen, because the general inconsistency is what is probably the most concerning thing, right? Like,
yeah,
he just, you never know which Moro you're gonna get, which is why, like, I think at moments this season we look like we can beat any team, but we also look like we can lose to any team. Like, there's never been a comfortable game that I can think of besides the Alaska Anchorage game, that cursed, fateful game where it just completely overinflated our goals for, you know, percentage. But yeah, it's just, we haven't had a nice normal game, you know, where we can just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show, you know, and I feel like Scott Moro is kind of a big part of that. So yeah, really hope that he, for everybody's sake in Providence, he needs to do a bit better.
I was just going to say, I pray his UMass legacy doesn't close on Saturday. That will not leave a great taste in people's mouth. I really hope and believe he has the ability to redeem himself in that sense. We'll just have to see what happens. He has the ability to take over games, and we need it more than we ever have out of him on Saturday.
And the very, very last thing, I know I'm going really long here, but I hope that he's probably not listening to this pod, right? But I think he understands maybe some of the expectations that are being placed upon him for this game. I'm hoping that doesn't get to him, and he doesn't, like, try and do too much.
Right.
Because, like, that's
when bad things happen.
That's when, like, if he feels pressured that he, like, I've seen this a ton in overtime and in, like, you know, third period games, kind of like this one, where he feels like he needs to be the talisman that pushes this team forward, right? And that is true to some extent, right? Like, you want your star players making star plays. But the moment that he tries to do a little too much, that's when it all starts to fall apart. So I'm hoping that he can kind of reel it in, be normal, you know, like, and just play his game, play solid two-way game. You know, we have the quality in our team. Let it shine. You know what I mean? Don't be the reason that we lose a game. Be the reason that, you know, we live to fight another day. You know what I mean? Sure. He tries to do too much. So hopefully he reels that in.
Yep. You got to hope. All right. Let's do a couple quick custom awards. What do you got?
All right, so this might be a little bit of a spoiler as to the theme, but I am going to be giving Michael Cameron the Flash Award. And that's because, I mean, everybody that's watched Michael Cameron play for us, they know his speed is probably his biggest attribute, right? He loves flying all over the ice. I wouldn't say chicken with his head cut off like Ryan Lautenbach, but he can definitely get around. He can move around on the ice, really quick guy. It culminated into a goal in the first game, and I feel like it was just kind of, you know, his general play style. I mean, not just this weekend, but just overall throughout his UMass career, he's always just hunting for that breakaway, you know, like that stretch pass, that easy zone entry where he can go in on a breakaway and try and make a move. That's essentially what happened in the first game. I mean, you could kind of call it a breakaway. Like, there was a guy behind him kind of pressuring him, but he didn't really get like a move off. It was literally just like a little scoop shot that just kind of beat Alvin Boya. Happy that happened, obviously, but that wasn't really the only moment where it happened. Like, he was flying around the ice, you know, especially in the neutral zone, multiple times. Like, we tried to make that same play that gave him that goal in the first game. We tried to make that play, I think, another 2 or 3 times throughout the first and second game combined. Like, you know, unfortunately, it didn't work, you know, but that was just kind of, you know, what he was supposed to bring to the table and bring to the offense. And that's kind of what the Flash does. You know what I mean? He's just that speed guy. So that's why I'm giving him the Flash Award.
Yeah, and he's flashed it his entire UMass career so far. So love seeing that speed. Want to see more of it on Saturday. That's all I can say.
Yep, that's what it's all about. Literally just everything that we talk about, all the positive stuff, show that on Saturday, please.
Yep. All right, my award, like you said, it goes along with it. I'm giving the Superman Award. And this one's going to Owen Murray. In the second game early, Maine was putting on a ton of pressure, and he had an awesome moment. He had lost his stick. I don't I don't remember exactly. I think it was even strength, but he had lost his stick. UMass was hemmed in their own zone for over 2 minutes at that point. The puck kind of squirted out towards the middle near the blue line, and he took a full Superman dive at the puck, batted it all the way down ice with his hand with no stick. A great effort to take the pressure off, get a change. Me and you, actually, I think it was the first game. I think I said second game by accident, but you and I looked at each other right away and were like, that's a custom award. Love that effort right there. So I haven't seen too many clears like that, but that was an awesome one and a huge time too.
Yeah, no, I mean, we were just like the hemming in the zone was really bad. You know what I mean? Like everybody was gassed. Like you needed to have a play like that. So, I mean, great play from Owen Murray. Like I like his game quite a bit. I mean, I know that I think stats wise, he's probably not showing the best. I think he was like the worst plus minus on the team last season. I'm actually trying to pull up and see exactly where he's at this season because I feel like he's done a lot better. He might not have the same amount of game time, you know, like he sometimes will fill in like that extra D-man slot. I think a lot of that's kind of due to injury. I mean, yeah, he went from being a minus 12 last season to now a flat zero on the plus minus, which obviously is not the end all be all, but it's a damn good improvement. You know, he's upped his point totals from 3 to 9 this season. He just, you know, he's taking the classic kind of sophomore, you know, bump up in ability. So, you know, I think realistically, he's going to be a really, really solid 4-year player for us. Maybe even a 5-year player. Who knows? I mean, we love guys whose last names are Murray who spent 5 years with us. So, you know, we could very well see that in our future. I mean, really, really love the kid. You know, he's really, really, you know, he interacts with us every now and then, like on the pod, like we'll DM and be like, hey, man, you good? Like, because it seems like he's getting injured every other weekend. But, you know, he's a really, really cool guy. And just love the way that he plays. I mean, he's one of our defensemen that really brings speed. You know what I mean? Like, he's a guy that will just take it from one end of the ice to the other and just see what happens. You know, it's great when he scores goals because they're rare, but they're nice when they come by. And yeah, really, really love his game. So he's a really, really big effort guy too. Like kind of how you were talking about this award. So just really well-rounded defenseman who I hope we see more of next season.
Yeah, it's been a nice surprise him this year. Didn't have a ton of expectations going in, and we've been happy to watch him. So good job, Owen Murray. All right, do you have anything left that you want to say about Providence? Because if I'm being honest, my energy for talking about hockey right now is pretty low. It'll certainly get refreshed with a nice win on Saturday, but I don't know if I have much more.
Yeah, I mean, are we going to do like a full preview or anything, or is this just going to be like, is this going to be it? Like, if that's, I mean, I could do a quick little like 1 minute, just like,
yeah, here's what they're good at. Give a little something.
Yeah, so I mean, realistically, like Providence's game, just kind of going off of memory, I didn't really prepare anything for this because I wasn't sure if it was going to be in this episode or not, but their thing is defense, right? Like, I think they played a game at one point this season where I think they might have held the team to maybe one shot or maybe one. It was one shot either in one period or two periods of play. Like, I think they were out shooting a team like 16-1 at the end of like a period or something like that.
Yeah.
They love just smothering teams defensively, right? Like, they play very similar to us, quite frankly. Like, they like to grind teams down. Like, if you look at their stats, like from their forwards and stuff, they don't have a single guy with over 24 points this season. Even for a team like us that, you know, again, you take out the Alaska, you know, game where I wouldn't say we struggle to score, but we're definitely not in the upper echelon of hockey scoring. It's the same exact thing with Providence. Like, very kind of defensive based, like one goal game, grind it out type of team, right? That's how Providence has been a lot. They have really, really big defenders. They don't really have a lot of scoring ability. And their goalie, Philip Svedbeck, he's filth. Like, he's a Bruins draft pick. 2.29 goals against average this season, a 900 save percentage, which right there, that tells me they don't give up a lot of shots, right? You know, pretty low goals against average, but a really low save percentage means that he doesn't really have a lot of chances to stop all that often. So they really like to limit high-quality chances. So if you're scoring on Svedbeck, it realistically has to be a really good look in order for it to go in because he's a really solid tendy. But we got to find a way to solve him because he's kind of been their main guy. Like, they really don't score that much. So, you know, we said this about Lowell, though. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Lowell is not a good scoring team, and they're out here putting three up on us at home. So I don't know what type of game we're going to have to play, but we need to, you know, this might end up being a 2-2 game going into 40 seconds left and we see another Merks win. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. That's what happened one time. I could see this being a super close game. as all of our games tend to be. You know, there's never a dull moment when you're watching UMass hockey, for better or for worse. So, I mean, we'll see how it shakes out, but realistically, it's go time. You know, it's now or never.
Yeah, they're very similar team to us. 2.9 goals per game. If you take out that Alaska game, obviously we're pretty close to that. One thing that I noticed, I hope our defense and our forechecking can really shine. They've been pretty good in the second half of the season. I know it's been a big talking point for Carvey, is the defense really finding itself in the second half. Providence just this weekend had a game against BU. They had zero shots in the first period. So they're not great when it comes to creating offense. I think UMass needs to do whatever they can to absolutely suffocate them. Use that forecheck to your advantage. Just don't even give them the opportunity. And it's certainly doable. I mean, the games that UMass has had against Providence this season, I'm going back through the schedule right now. I'm pretty sure they've been low scoring as well.
Yeah.
2-1 overtime, and then 3-2. So
low scoring, one goal games.
And that was back at a point when UMass's defense was not highly regarded as it is right now. So we're going to be in Rhode Island, so we could bet on this one. I'd go as, if I could, if they even offered it, I would put the house on this being a one goal game. I think that's a guarantee given the way that this season's gone. Just got to really limit their chances. I'm looking at our forecheck as being the big difference maker for this game.
I mean, I could see it. I mean, I wouldn't even just necessarily point out one specific facet of our game. This might sound insane. I just want to see some compete.
Yeah.
You know, that was probably the most depressing part to me about this past weekend, is we couldn't get anything going, really. Like, I don't know if it's a matter of just Maine's defense is just really stifling, because that happened, you know, in the first game that we played against them, that 1-0. But that wasn't really a case of you know, they were destroying us defensively, just limiting chances. We were getting chances in that 1-0 game. We were just putting them 4 feet over the net every time. Our shooting gloves just weren't on that game. So it's I just want to see us create chances and just be all over the ice, right? If I see a single shift of this game, we're hemmed in our zone for 2+ minutes. That right there to me is a massive disappointment.
Yeah.
We cannot let that happen against us, because that to me is just a simple matter of compete, right? If you can get up the energy and get up the willpower to take the puck away from your opponent, you're going to be able to do it. It doesn't matter what type of skill they have. No offense to Providence, I don't think they're a particularly skilled team. They're just like us, where they, you know, will grind you down. They'll get greasy goals out in front. They're not sitting here doing 3-on-1, you know, crazy passing plays like Maine. They're a completely different team. I think, in my opinion, this type of game suits us, but only if we play the right way. And that's all I want to see. Obviously I want to see a win at the end of the day, but if I see us go down where we're just looking completely lost out there on the ice, that right there is the cap off to the season. You know what I mean? If we lose this game, but we're at least making it look super close and we're outworking the hell out of them, it is what it is. Sometimes pucks just don't go your way. But if we look like we deserve to lose the game, I'm just going to be completely and utterly disappointed. You know what I mean? I feel like there's ways of losing, and I just don't want there to be a crappy way to lose, you know, against Providence. If we lose, I want to see us think we could have won that if a bounce went our way. You know what I mean? I just don't want to get outclassed.
Just for the team's sake, for our sake, for our social media's reputation sake, I hope there's no bad calls. I really do.
God, don't.
I know. I know. It's biggest game in quite a while. Biggest game in 2 years for UMass. So we'll be there. Keep an eye out for us. It won't be hard to miss us, given how bland and bright that arena is. So praying our next episode isn't titled "The Season Is Over." That's about it. Do you have anything left to say?
Nah, I mean, you can tell just by the way the both of us are talking, we're kind of just grasping at straws here. So I think it's time to just end it and just hope that we're gonna have a better pod next weekend.
Yep, that's all we got. So thank you guys for listening. Keep this team in your prayers, and go UMass.
Go UMass. Take care, everybody. Try and get a win this Saturday and keep the hopes alive.